what we think about is people operations versus the actual operation of process. And if we spend HR spends so much time on process, that it actually takes away from people. Every process that we put in play that our managers have to react and evolve towards is time taken away from them and their team.
Hello and welcome to the Future Proof HR Podcast, where we explore how the most forward-thinking HR leaders are navigating change, integrating technology, and building the workplaces of tomorrow. I'm your host, Thomas Kunjapu, CEO of Cleary, and today I am joined by Heather Hiddleston, the Chief Human Resources Officer at Athletic Brewing Company. Now, Heather leads a people strategy and culture at one of the fastest growing non-alcoholic beer brands in the U.S. She brings nearly two decades of experience from HR and leadership roles at companies as diverse as Apple, Stone Brewing, and Constellation Brands. And Heather is known for her people-first approach and the ability to drive innovation through culture retention and communication. So, Heather, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Thomas. Great to be here.
Great to have you. And I want to dive right in with a topic that we contend with quite frequently here, AI. Yeah. Tell me about artificial intelligence from your perspective, obviously through the lens of being a leader in HR at Athletic Brewing, and how you set the tone from the top around AI to the entire workforce there.
Yeah, AI is going to be a disruptor in the workplace. And at Athletic Brewing Company, we're no stranger to disruption. We're a non-alcoholic brew company. All we do is make non-alcoholic beer. And if you thought about non-alcoholic beer 30 years ago, it was something that was dusty. It was a product that you probably didn't enjoy the taste on, and there was really no options. And when you thought about that space, and our founder started his mission and wanted to drink non-alcoholic beer, he looked at it and said, there's so much opportunity to disrupt. He started developing a product with a great brewer. After all this innovation in our machines, software, and systems, we're now the top NA brewery in the United States, but also we're a category driver. We've disrupted that category. We're growing over 30%. And if we were to just sit back and say, hey, we've been talking about AI, we know AI is coming, we think it's a disruptor, but we're going to sit on our hands and just wait and see what happens, that doesn't really align with who we are as an organization and as a brand. And when you're talking about that from a top level, it's all about how you communicate it and how you get your teams excited about it. We're definitely framing it as a positive. We're really excited to see where it takes us the next couple of years.
You're seeing it as a positive within the context of general disruption and innovation, which is what you connected to, what you're doing overall. As an older millennial myself, it is very strange to see the growth of this whole category and people not getting just straight up drunk as young people. Culture is clearly changing and you guys are driving that. When it comes to the workforce, how do you think about, so that it is going to be a disruptive force and you want to lean into that. How do you frame that as you talk about it within the company?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think there's a single company that at a senior level is not talking about AI. But are they really being transparent with their team on what their intentions are with AI? If you're not doing that, what you're allowing is for team members to go out and see what AI means to them. They're looking at Twitter, they're looking at the news, and they're not sure what it means at your workplace. So if you're not transparent and you're not engaging them in those conversations, it leaves it up for interpretation. As I mentioned, we see it as really positive. There is going to be work that our team members do that's maybe repetitive. It could be reactionary. It doesn't feel as value add as they want. And people don't join Athletic Brewing Company because they're really stoked about checklists. They join Athletic Brewing Company because they believe in the product, they believe in what we're trying to do and the impact they see in its community. If we can then get them to focus on, hey, we're going to spend less time doing repetitive work and more time doing really engaging, meaningful, and impactful work, it's going to help them grow professionally and develop. That's what we're really excited about. And it's going to allow them to innovate, which is what we've been doing all along.
So, given that you're manufacturing, you have warehouses, you're distributing, obviously you're experimenting and working on product, and there's a corporate arm. So there's a diverse set of employees, right, compared to most industries. AI can impact people in different ways in terms of the department and function and what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. What are the kinds of ways you're seeing around the organization that technology is impacting the way you do business on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, especially in manufacturing, having automation and AI has been great. It keeps people safe, right? It allows them to work more efficiently, effectively. And instead of focusing on broken machines, you're now able to focus on making tweaks in different areas. And is that making a better product and a product that lasts longer, has longer shelf life? And that's what we're starting to see is because we've started to automate and have great procedures on the manufacturing side, we're able to make a really great product. And to your point, in other departments, it's really leveraging and focusing on what is the goal of your department. If the goal of marketing is to reach individuals, sure, you can scan data and do analysis. That's great. But it's what are the actions that come upon that? And so the quicker you can get to that information of why are customers making this choice and why are they making this decision, the better impact that you can make. And to your point, specifically on the HR side, we're really excited because unfortunately, HR has been seen as an administrative function of the organization, but we're really a people function. If we spend less time on administration and more time on the people function, that's why people get into HR. They don't come to HR because they're like thrilled about engaging and organizing employee files and making sure that people have moved their title in the HRIS. They understand that people are the most important resource at the company. And how do you get out of their way and empower them to do their best work? So we're really excited, especially on the people side.
That's a great point, Heather. I want to go a little bit deeper into how the people team you're leading, how you're evolving the way you approach AI. I'll just start with the observation about the reason people get into HR to begin with tends not to do the things they ultimately end up doing a lot, which is paper pushing and being a tactical, reactive kind of function, which sometimes feels necessary to provide great service for the organization, which is ultimately what you want to do. How do you see that changing? And then can you dive in more deeply into how you and your team are engaging with AI and bringing that into what you do day to day or week to week?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're early on in our AI journey. I think it's going to be so fun when we look back 2 or 3 years ago and be like, gosh, if we were just using AI in this way, like how much further we'd be along in an organization. What we think about is people operations versus the actual operation of process. And if we spend HR spends so much time on process, that it actually takes away from people. Every process that we put in play that our managers have to react and evolve towards is time taken away from them and their team. And I think what ends up happening, especially in the HR field, is we spend so much time worrying about administration. And a great example is we thinking about employee lifecycle. We're obviously thinking about learning and development. We're thinking about the actual experience. But a lot of those come into play at moments in people's careers. And one of the things that I was thinking about, especially when it comes to that people side and what makes you want to get into HR, is really around leave. And you think about what it takes to do an effective leave and the administrative burden that goes along with that. You have to know the laws, you have to have the right paperwork, what's congruent, what's not congruent. And you're trying to do all these things. But if you actually step back, if someone's taking a leave, that is a large life event that has happened to them, that's going to be infecting them personally. And if we're so focused on making sure the leave is done effectively, we're ignoring the element of the person. And on top of that, at Athletic, we're such a fast-paced company. If someone's out for 2 months or 3 months, who they're working with may change. What was the priority for them has probably changed. The company and how we do things has probably changed. Mm-hmm. And to come back to something that you were familiar with and maybe was like a normal in your life is now different. If you haven't thought about that side of it, you're not setting that person up for success, which is ultimately what HR is there to do, and make our people as impactful as possible, as soon as possible. We're thinking about using AI to track changes within our organization. So when people come back, it's, hey, here's this easy digestible thing of what happened when you were away. So one, they're feeling comfortable and confident coming back into work while still dealing with that situation was that they had to be out for that period of time. And so I think there's ways to balance the administrative side, but using AI to really think about the care and what the team member experiences is going to be really huge. There is some administrative work that you're not going to be able to magically wand away with AI. How do you use it to enhance the experiences that you already have?
So I hear you on the unearthing of the true value of HR. And with that great example, I would imagine most listeners would think of that as a nice to have. It would be so nice if we could have someone coming back from bereavement or paternity or whatever the leave is, or if you have a policy where someone's been at the company for 5 years, they get a sabbatical, they get warmly welcomed back in a consistent manner, almost like the way you think about onboarding, which people tend to have more mature processes about. But it's either a thought that you may have in passing, because it's obvious that no one has time for that, and we're not going to invest a bigger HR team to enable things like that. It's a relatively nice to have. But there are probably dozens or hundreds of examples of moments in the employee journey that you can make much more impactful.
To your point, I think what I'm trying to get at is that took 5 minutes to do with AI, right? So although it's a nice to have, really, it's just an idea that AI can execute very quickly. It makes those nice to haves more attainable, especially for small teams that have HR. We don't have a learning and development specialist, but we don't really now need one because we're really using AI to help us create that content. I definitely get the point you're getting at, but I think nice to haves are going to be much easier.
And yeah, let's get it done.
Must be done.
Okay, so that's a great point. I was thinking about it in reverse. To be able to free up the time to do the nice to have, what are things that you can let go of? AI can get rid of the tactical repetitive things that can free you up to do some of the quote nice to haves, but actually it can bring nice to haves within reach because historically it's a 2 week kind of project versus maybe a couple of hours. So then let's talk a little bit about the tactics. We talked about how there's a conversation across the company about how AI is going to be impacting everyone's roles and every function. How have you been practicing and leading conversations such as this one? Hey, what if we did a summary of information when someone's coming back from leave? How do you get that inculcated within the org?
Yeah, so, you know, it has to start with the leaders, right? If they're not engaged and they're not excited about it, it's really hard to get your team members excited about it. It's part of our weekly HR roundup. I ask questions like, have you learned anything new? Has AI done anything weird for you this week? Has it done anything successful? Or is there any surprises? And so we talk about using AI on a day-to-day basis. What we do during that time too is outside of AI, we just share as a team what we're working on. And that's a great time to pepper in. Hey, have you thought about throwing that through ChatGPT or Gemini or Grok or whichever format you're using? It really opens up the team to start naturally exploring and there's no bad ideas. What we've really started focusing on, especially with our team, is that learning and development side. I think one of the pitfalls of being a small HR team is you often don't have time to do training or make training content. A lot of these startup companies need training. They don't have training. And so then what ends up happening is because they don't have time to build it, then they're reacting to whatever has happened that they could have trained on. They have to clean it up. And so it's this vicious cycle that never ends. And if our team, we say, if this has happened more than once, let's just throw into AI and just get some basic tools out to our leaders so we don't have to continue working on this. We can focus on things that bring more value. To your point, let's take 5 minutes and see if we can make our leave process a little bit better.
Got it. So it's part of the weekly team huddle. It's part of the constant conversation. People are sharing ideas and then leading from the front with specific actions. Can I ask that coming back to the company level, how do you think about tactically messaging or a communication strategy around AI for the entire workforce?
Yeah, it has to start from the top level, right? We have monthly town halls and our senior leaders have discussed AI with our teams just so that they understand we're thinking about it, we're excited about it, and here's how we want you to interact with your teams. AI is going to be a change and there's a lot of unknowns. One of the hardest things we do as HR professionals is change management. And even more so when there's unknowns, it could be unsettling for people. And I can get why there's anxiousness around it. It's important that as leaders and as a company, we're making this a two-way dialogue and we're listening to team members. What are they worried about? What are they excited about? And really doing active listening when it comes to that and sharing and celebrating ideas. But Thomas, I think what's more important too is reflecting back on when we are using AI. What were the things I consider old work or things that we used to do, but now we get to do instead? Drawing that parallel is so important. And I think back in my career, like very early on, I remember working on some sort of Excel document, very manually putting together the information. My coworker came up behind me and taught me a formula. And it took this 45-minute thing and made it 30 seconds. It wasn't like, okay, my work's done for the day. No, it's okay. Why was I putting this together? It's because I needed to analyze the data set. And now I got to work on what was actually important to the organization versus me very unskillfully attempting to use Excel at that time. Being able to really tie it back to, yeah, we're not doing this anymore, but look at what we are working on. Getting people really excited to say, we're not going to stop here, and we're going to keep moving forward and keep using it to innovate within the organization.
You mentioned encouraging folks to have that two-way, to bring their ideas in and also to ensure that like leadership is talking. Often my observation is if that conversation is happening, it may not happen in the open. So from the executives down, that could be happening within boards. It's questions about company strategy or investment in how we do X, or it's happening in executive team meetings only. It could or could not be communicated with the right level of transparency. But on the other hand, on the employee side, everyone's reading articles, right? People are following news, talking to each other, hearing about things. They're talking about that with each other privately or with their family or friends outside of work. An organization that facilitates that dialogue internally, especially on a two-way basis, is set up for a potentially long-term differentiator, right? Like in terms of just keeping and engaging talent, especially the folks who want to like work together on evolving where the whole organization and the use of technology is going to go. I just wanted to like reflect back that two-way communication aspect happening with or without you.
And from an efficiency perspective, you can try to sit behind closed doors and imagine the 900 reasons, or maybe you focus on these are the three reasons that the team is going to be worried about AI. And that's actually not what they're worried about. So you're spending all your time and resources trying to solve for something that if you just ask, you can then evaluate and make sure you get them the right support and tools.
Is there anything specific you're able to share? Like something where your hypothesis was proven wrong about what actually mattered?
I wouldn't say that I thought necessarily of, because we didn't spend the time thinking about what people said. We just went straight to asking. Mm-hmm. I was surprised on my team when someone was like, when we have this new system, what else am I going to work on? I was like, let's talk about that. Here are the six different things that we now get to do because you don't have to do this. And they were just like, yeah, that's way more fun. Yeah, absolutely. That was a surprise to me because we've been talking about it for so long. But at the same time, just giving people a comfortable space to say, this is what I'm worried about. Hey, this is what I think might happen if we go down this path. How do we solve it? And knowing we're solving it together, we're not solving it in a room behind closed doors that people can't see.
I love that. There's so many layers to that, right? There's like the what you're doing, but then how you're doing, who you're involving, and how that comes to be, it all matters. But then ultimately, at some level, it changes talent or what is valuable in some kind of way. And I think you've made several references, Heather. Hey, you're a small team. You don't have, for example, L&D specialists, right? And that is increasingly the case, right? Like HR teams are teams of one or smaller teams. And certainly if you're talking like an HRBP team or HR operations team, it's not so many folks. What do you think this means in terms of what is valuable for people who are in these roles, right? So whether you're an HR generalist or in operations or an HRBP, how are those roles potentially evolving in your view?
I think it's becoming subject matter experts without having that formalized training and being able to be in charge and seeing it holistically. The hard part about HR is when you get to larger organizations, it gets so fragmented. The compensation team's working on this and the recruiting team is working on this. No one's really looking at it from the whole picture. That's what I think of the beauty of an HRBP and a more generalist style HR team is that you're really looking at it as an ecosystem and not necessarily as individual units that have their own identities and priorities. And what AI really lets you do is get deeper into subjects that maybe you don't have exposure to. Recently, we were talking to our broker about a PEP model for benefits on the 401k side. And of course, they send me the note and these are all the things about it. And so my first jump was like, let's go into AI. Let's have it explain it to me. I go and ask it questions. It's talking to me back. And one of the things I do is repeat back and say, okay, we're going to start over. I'm going to explain to you what this means. Do I have it? I think what's really cool about AI and one of the things you're saying are like what kind of skills that people need to learn is that you can actually use AI to help you fully understand and navigate both sides of the coin. When I was talking about this PEP model, one of the things I was saying is, tell me about the unintended consequences. Tell me about some risks that may occur. Explain to me why this is a positive, why it's a negative. Then I can go back to the broker and say, based on our conversation, for our organization, this is how I'm thinking about it. It gives me just a little bit more context. It allows you to see multiple different angles of the same scenario, so you can feel comfortable and confident talking about something that you just learned about 2 days ago or 3 days ago.
Yeah, it's like there's a parallel to what we were talking about with the quote nice to have earlier about, hey, it's something that seemed out of reach before. If you wanted to dive deep into 401k plans and what it means from a compliance perspective and all the variations of it, the cognitive load is quite high. And while everyone has so many things to do, right? Am I really going to do this right now? Am I going to spend a whole day to get started on this kind of project? But it can actually bring that down, right? The initiation to get into learning that, and that can compound. And I think that's the point, right? You may not have an L&D person. Maybe a lot of these centers of excellence end up really getting distributed across a more generalist model. And maybe some of it even goes further towards management. Maybe you can expect more from managers, maybe not about PEP and 401ks, but like other kind of skill sets, which they cognitively offload into the HR team because it's beyond what they need to deal with. But the concept you just mentioned feels pretty universal, right? I would think like this concept of I'm confronted by something new, or it's on the edges of my understanding and I need to do something with that. Maybe I can engage with it easier.
Yeah.
Let me ask you what you seem to be asking in your team meetings then. Have there been any interesting, surprising, funny use cases that have come up for you?
Yeah, I've definitely used it to reword some things in ways that would come off a little bit better for our team. We've used it a little bit more creatively too. I think as far as growth cases, it's really allowed our team to do more and do more better. And just as a leader in general, I have so much pride in watching my team members grow from who they were when they first started to where they are now and what type of work they're doing and how they're being better HR professionals. But I think that's being seen in the organization. If we have HR professionals that are able to make the work less intensive for the leaders, that gives leaders more time to spend with the team, impacting and growing them. It's like the opposite of the vicious cycle I had earlier where it was like, we didn't have time to deal with any of this, so the problems keep occurring. Now we're freeing people up, and that's going to allow for them to grow. So instead of being a pain point, it's becoming a positive point.
That's great. Let me go into something a little different, but something I hear often, which is something that holds HR departments back from engaging thoughtfully with AI, which is the concept that a lot of what we do is compliance-driven. We have to get it 100% right. I've heard about hallucinations, there's bias, there is a lot of human judgment, even on top of what employment law may say in many use cases, that I, as an HR leader or a specialist in compensation in that state, needs to address. And so it's not something that we should engage with at the moment, till further notice. So what do you say to a peer who says something like that to you?
I think at the end of the day, anything that's exciting and is going to be on the cutting edge, there are going to be unintended consequences. But I think you really need to step back and see why you're using AI. And if what you're trying to do doesn't align with your company's vision, its values, that should be a stop point. For us, the HR department, what I really want to focus on is process operation, not people operation. How do we make our process operations much more streamlined, much more effective? Because then what that does is it allows for our leaders to spend more time on the people side of it. So a big one is recruiting, right? People talk about recruiting and using AI for recruiting, and that's a non-starter for us because recruiting is a people operation. But if I can make it more effective and take away some of the HR administrative burden from our leaders, they can spend more time reviewing resumes, understanding what they're looking for. And to your point about bias, there's going to be bias everywhere, right? I understand that people have bias. We can train on that. But what I can't accept is if AI is using bias, that people are screened out from us and we don't even have access to it. And the amount of emails I get on a daily basis about, here's my new software that's going to tell you which of your performers are the best performers and which people to hire. It's just a non-starter for us. But there are other ways that we can be effective and efficient, and people is never that option. If you're trying to be efficient with people, you're going to spend more time trying to reinvent the wheel and circle back to the issues that you've created. I think that's a really important piece from the bias side. Just like anything in life, it's probably the most HR saying, trust but verify. If you look at something in HR, look at the sources. What is it saying, right? So again, trust but verify. HR professionals should be great at that.
Right.
Yeah, it's not for people processes. It's for organizational processes.
Yeah, it's about not about people processes. It's anything that is behind the scenes. I guess the metaphor is for Excel junkies, right? It's the earlier example. For sure, use it if you're manually doing a copy paste into 100 cells, but you can now just get that in with a formula and get to the same result. Clearly, that's a great little micro step in your overall process to ultimately create a communication. Maybe you're calculating numbers about attrition rates and telling a story about that judgment, and that story is still yours to own. But the steps that you took to get there, if it can be made more efficient, that's a better use case for AI versus presenting the story to the executive team about attrition over the last quarter.
Yeah. And we're really transparent with our teams. If you're using AI, you need to tell people what you're using it for. We do want to put those safeguards in place. We have people in our teams, a little AI team where we say, these are some of the things our teams are using it for. This is what's okay. This is what's out of bounds. Just for that exact reason. You just don't know how people are using it until they start engaging. It's not like, hey, you're not using this. It's more of a, let's use it in a different way and bring it back to your point, which is the values of it. Why are we using it? I think it's really important that you're transparent with people about what you're using it for. No, it's not a finished product. It's going to put out, it's going to need some work. It's not going to deliver whatever report so you can go sit at your desk and watch an episode of TV. There's going to be more to do.
Yeah, it's interesting. This kind of parallels the discussion in education, but it's a more paternalistic, rightfully, conversation. It leads from plagiarism because a lot of legacy, just the way educations always work, like tests or essays or things that professors or teachers put in front of students are so easily gamified with AI. It's leading to this massive uplift in plagiarism. But then ask the question, like, what are we actually trying to teach or learn to begin with? Which parallels what you said before. What is the role of HR to begin with? Am I really supposed to do these manual things, or can I actually go back and redefine or embrace again, what is the impact that we're trying to make happen? Let's just coming back to overall like impact. I think from our conversation, both at an organizational level in terms of embracing and talking about it, as well as how you're tactically implementing various workflows within your HR org itself, I feel like you are ahead of a lot of organizations. But if you were thinking about how this will all play out and it compounds a little bit in the future, what do you think the impact of this is going to be on your org and the broader organization and the culture?
Yeah, it's like you're taking it back to why do we do it, right? Why even use AI? Ultimately, what it's going to be able to do is make more impactful work. People come to work. They always talk about the world of, everything will be automated and people won't need to work. And people want to work. And they want to work on things that excite them and matter to them. If as an organization, we have a values and mission-based org, that's a positive for us. But if we can unlock it from a talent acquisition perspective and say, you don't need to work on these things that don't drive purpose and don't drive like excitement to you. And these are the things that you do get to work on. That is going to make people want to come to Athletic. And the more talent that you have in your organization, the better your organization performs, the better impact we can have in our communities through our programs. At the end of the day, it's all about people. It's all about the talent. And it's all about giving them things that they get to work on and be super excited to come into work. Because when people are excited about what they're working on, they put 120% effort into it. It doesn't feel like work at that point. It's fun.
So it does. Yeah, it goes back to that two-way conversation, right? If everyone's talking about what they're doing, and it's not just about AI, but if that conversation in town hall or with managers or with your HR partner is happening constantly, transparently, that signals engagement that you're talking about. So if you put all of these pieces together and we look ahead, I'm going to ask you to put your...
Oh, get the crystal ball out?
Yeah,
get the crystal ball all the time.
So what does this mean in the future? What do HR roles look like? And the corollary of that is if you really want to future-proof your org and the people in your org, in the HR team today, how is that going to play out?
I think if I took my crystal ball, what I would see is less of the siloed HR and more of a homogeneous, inclusive HR where teams are actually functioning and working together, because you don't have to be subject matter experts at every piece. Yes, there's compliance. Yes, you want to make sure you're running things by your legal team. What HR professionals need to start getting prepared for is really staying away from the process and the bureaucracy and the this is how our company flows, to more of what do people want out of work? And what they want is, what is their career? How are career ladders going to be set into place? Being able to work on things that excite them. And I just see a world where HR becomes much less siloed, and it's truly more of a business partner function. Not saying there's not going to be value in people that have expertise in this place, but I think what's going to end up happening is they're going to get drawn into more of the business partner conversations, and they're going to start becoming more of a well-rounded partner. So I think that could be very exciting, and I do hope it happens in most organizations.
A counterpoint to that could be, couldn't it be that as we evolve the processes side, so the business processes and not the people processes, to go from, hey, today we have a giant spreadsheet and we have a bunch of emails that we send and forms that we fill out, to go from there to one that is more streamlined, where people are not, whether it's managers or HRBPs or even the employee, everyone's time is more effective. Mm-hmm. To get from A to B, that's a skill set that will also be necessary. So I wonder if there will be a specialization, but maybe it's fewer of those folks. So maybe you need one or two people to really process optimize, but then the core HR function is more of what you're describing. You need to be a little bit fluent in all of it, like the people side, while also constantly using technology to improve and automate tactical work.
Yeah, I think it's a balance, right? And I think it's all about setting teams, right? That's what HR is supposed to be doing, making really balanced teams. In my career, I've always looked for people that balance out my skill set. So if I feel like I'm strong here and weak here, that's the person I want on my team. HR teams will have to start realizing you're going to have these folks that are highly skilled. Maybe they're your three-point assassin, but you also need your center who's stuck in the middle, who's seeing the whole court, and being able to go and say, okay, you two, we have to put the right pairing together, because that's what's best for the organization. Subject matter experts are going to go away, but they're going to have to learn to work well with those generalists and really see the organization as a whole and stop being siloed. Because if a lot of the process of HR gets driven away and impacted through AI, now what you're really working on is building a really strong talent pool. And building talent is going to come from recruiting. It's going to come from all the modules with inside, which is great compensation, great career ladders, great learning and development, and great experience. And that isn't just one department. That's a lot of departments having to work very closely together and in step. And when people are out of step, that's when things fall through the cracks. And if there isn't much distinguishing between different jobs, especially if you're not culture-driven or values-driven, it's going to be really easy for someone to move to a different company. And so I think that's where the strategy is going to come into HR, is really thinking of it as a full people unit and not, here's our compensation strategy, here is our recruiting strategy. It's, no, what is our people strategy?
I love it. So I think this is as great a time as any for us to get into our lightning round, where we get to know you a little bit better while also unlocking some more of your knowledge. Heather, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, 30 seconds or less. What's a great piece of career advice that you've received?
Network. I didn't want to believe it, but you have to network. There are so many experiences in life that you won't be able to obtain. So having a good, strong network is so important.
Ah, okay. And I don't think anyone would disagree with that. But just a quick follow-up. It's annoying or hard to do. What do you do practically to network?
I force myself to do it. I have a great community, so I started doing some additional education through the Wharton School, through the CHRO program, and met some great folks. There's a couple of HR forums that I've joined as well. Once you go to these places, it's picking who you want to meet and sitting next to them at dinner.
There you go. Love that. Okay. Here's another way to gain knowledge maybe we can talk about. Is there a piece of media, book, podcast, resource that has had a big impact on you this year?
It's probably my third read, but Measure What Matters, the book, is just such a great way to think about impact and work. So it's not only like, why are you doing it, but what are the steps to get there? So I love that book.
Interesting. We'll put it in the show notes. Are you a morning person or a night owl?
I'm a morning person. I turn to a pumpkin after 9.
Oh, wow. That's hardcore morning. Okay. We talked a lot about AI and tools, but more broadly, what's your go-to productivity tool or app that you use personally?
Yeah, the one I like is Grok. I think it's better on the personal side of it, not to knock ChatGPT. I think ChatGPT is great, but I prefer Grok at this time. And I'm sure that will change if you ask me in 2 years.
What do you mean the personal side of things?
I think it's better at writing. I think it's better at taking your dialogue and making it more human and more like easier for people to understand and digest.
I think people should be using multiple tools and seeing the little nuances. If you could have dinner with one historical figure, who would it be?
It would be Abraham Lincoln. I can't imagine leading during that time. It's just inspirational.
That would be a very interesting dinner indeed. With all that said, let me just ask one more HR-related question.
Yep.
If you could wave a magic wand and take away one annoying task that HR teams have to do all the time, what would that be?
It's all teams and it's time cards. If people would just go to work and I know exactly when they're there and it's compliant with the law, it saves payroll, it saves HR, it saves the manager, and it saves the employee. So if anyone can figure out time cards that take less than 5 minutes to get payroll done, you're going to make so much money. And call me.
All right. Yeah, that's a good point. I never thought about how much effort is even outside of HR to maintain this one specific process. Thank you for playing along with Lightning Round and for the conversations about AI and what you're doing in your organization, both within HR and Athletic Brewing overall. That's it for the episode today of Future Proof HR. Huge thank you again to Heather Hiddleston for sharing how you approach this brave new world that we are all getting into. Until next time, everyone. Bye now. Hey, it's Thomas again. One quick question before you go. Are you and your HR team tired of answering the same employee questions again and again in Slack? If yes, our Cleary AI-powered Slackbot is here to help. It takes routine employee requests and answers it automatically while freeing up time for you to take on more important tasks. At the same time, it automatically builds up an HR knowledge base as you go. It's quick to set up, works right in Slack, and you can try it for free. Just head on over to gocleary.com/HR-chatbot to install it. It's again, gocleary.com/HR-chatbot. Thanks again.